Hey, what's up, you sexy bitches, and welcome back to this week's Weekly D. And today I have my good friend Charlotte Robertson on with me. We have a bit of a roller coaster of emotions in this episode. We talk about Charlotte's pole career, we talk about her competing career, we talk about her business Aura and her studio, but we do also talk about the passing of her husband, Luke. So if this is something that you feel is going to be uncomfortable for you to listen to, this is a trigger warning that we do talk about death in this episode. So if you think that's going to make you feel uncomfortable, do go and check out some of my other episodes. We have some awesome episodes for you to check out. If you're all good to go, let's get started. Honey, this is the Weekly D, because if you ain't getting your D on the daily, you better at least be getting it once on the weekly. If you're not getting any and you want some tea, then come and join Dan up on the Weekly D. It's the Weekly D. Hey, Sharps. Thank you for coming onto my podcast. It is a pleasure to have you on. And for anyone who is listening, me and Charlotte are very good friends. So some of the questions that I am going to ask Charlotte today, I already know the answer to, but I'm asking them because I want you all to find out. But how are you, babe? Good to have you here.
I am really good, thank you. Yeah, really good. Thanks for inviting me on. I'm a little bit nervous, actually, but
why?
I will do my best. I don't know.
No.
It's pressure, isn't it?
This is just a chat between friends, that's all. I see you're in your studio. So let's, before we go into the questions I have for you today, let's just break the ice a little bit. Tell people a little bit about yourself, about your studio, what you do, just... Who is Charlotte? Give everyone a rundown of who you are.
Who I am. Okay, so yeah, I'm in the studio. I have a studio in a little village in Wiltshire, just down the road from Stonehenge. And we run pole and aerial classes, flexibility classes and stuff. I've been poling for, do you know what? I don't actually know how long I've been poling for, but it's over 10 years. And I feel like past the 10-year point, it's just a blur. So over 10 years, maybe like 12. The studio's been running about 10, and I have two little boys, and partner, and what else? Aura, obviously, my clothing brand, is my other business as well. So yeah, that's kind of me in a nutshell.
Nice.
That's it. Studio, Aura, children.
You got into pole, well, so I was 2008 and you weren't much longer after me. What, 2010, maybe 11?
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I remember, I think when we competed at the same competition, you were doing doubles and I was doing like just solo or something. And I remember I wasn't an instructor then. So it must have been maybe around 2010, 2011 that you started. What got you into pole? And I know you have a previous gymnastics background. Tell us a little bit about that. Has that helped you? What are your thoughts on that sort of?
Yeah, so I trained gymnastics from when I was about 7 until I was about kind of 17, probably, so like 10 years. I did sports acro gymnastics, so I was in a trio, so it wasn't like artistic, it wasn't individual. I did do that for a little bit, but only literally like 2 or 3 years at the beginning. And then I was kind of a little bit of a lost soul, really. I went and did a sports massage qualification and I was working as a sports massage therapist for a bit. I was kind of an assistant fitness, basically a glorified receptionist for a bit. And then I kind of just went down a little bit more of the fitness route, got my first like proper job, which was at LA Fitness, which I don't even think is a thing now, but yeah, it was at LA Fitness, and kind of got my qualifications there. And while I was there, I met someone who I basically started a business with, a fitness group exercise business with. And we decided that it would be a great idea to start teaching pole as part of our program, having no pole experience at all, you know what it was like back then. So we went and got qualified and then we started teaching pole, beginner's pole. And I just like fell in love with it. And I think you're absolutely right. Because of my gymnastics background, there was obviously certain things that I, you know, were just my body recognized. And I was like, this is what I love doing. And I think I It's quite funny actually, because my dad, when I was younger, I remember I was like 14 or 15. He was like, "But what are you, you know, what's your goals? What are you going to do?" And I was like, "I'm going to be a gymnast." And he was like, "Well, you know, it's not much money in gymnastics." And I always joke that I'm now like, "Look at me now, Dad, spinning round the ball."
I know, that's so funny as well. That's such a, because your dad's a financial advisor. What a financial advisor response. Well, gymnastics doesn't make much money, but it's my passion, Dad. Yeah. Leave me alone.
Exactly. So that kind of grew for me. And then I obviously wanted to focus on that. And I then kind of went on my own journey, like you say, started competing and realized what an amazing like community, and how I know we're a small community, but it's actually, you know, massive in some ways. The opportunities that are available are just, you know, amazing. And I've obviously been able to travel and yeah, do lots of amazing things through doing pole dancing, which is really cool. So so I just kind of followed that path, and that's what led me.
I think I don't know how you feel about this, because I've never had that pressure, because I've never done gymnastics. So for me, it was never a pressure of being like, "Oh, you used to be a gymnast, you're going to be really good," because I never was. So people always knew that the lightness of me getting these flips was always going to be a little bit like, maybe you will, maybe you won't. With you, did you ever find that rather than people being like, "Oh, that's cool, you used to do gymnastics," that people would be almost have a pressure on you to be like, "Wow, she used to be a gymnast, she's going to be really good." And then you're like, "Fuck's sake, like, don't say that, because now I'm going to be shit." Did you ever have that?
Do you know what? If I did, I didn't recognize it at the time. Because
that's good.
Although, I mean, yeah, if there was, like I said, I didn't recognize it at the time. I think I was so naive coming into the industry. Like I say, you know, started doing doubles, and that was like what, you know, how I... that competition that I did doubles at, where we met actually, I entered as a solo and I didn't get in. So that was my first ever competition I entered and as a solo, and I didn't get
was
through.
That,
but I got,
was that what it was called? Nastic. Pole Fin. Yeah,
no,
oh, it was pole nastics still.
Yeah.
So yes, it was pole nastics. Then they changed it to Bucks Pole Fitness Competition, didn't they?
I entered that competition as a solo and a double. We got through as doubles. Didn't make it through as a double, but as a solo, sorry. And then my next competition I entered a few months later was Miss Pole Dance. And that was my first ever solo comp.
That's
so
crazy.
So like I say, if there was, I didn't recognize it, or I didn't recognize it in that way. Because although, of course, like any background is going to assist you in some way, because like you've trained, you know, body awareness, I obviously trained like some level of flexibility, but it was like, you know, like I said, I did it till I was about 17. And then I was, you know, how old was I? How long ago was that? 14 years ago. So it was a good like 4 or 5 years later, 6 years later that I started competing.
Right.
So I wasn't in the shape of like, it wasn't like I literally rolled out of the gym club into doing pole. So there's still stuff, you know, I had to work on. And as we all do, and there's stuff that you're, there's certain stuff that you're going to excel at, and there's certain stuff that you struggle with, and that's like, you know, part of the journey for everybody. Don't get me wrong, like it obviously helps, like I say, having some kind of background, but pole is still, it's still different, you know.
Yeah, it's still so different. I mean, what would you say you have learned about like the industry compared to as like when you started? Like, what would you say the differences are? What would you say that you have changed? Because I mean, one of the things that I'm just thinking of off the top of my head was, I remember when you and me used to train together years ago, back when we had time, back when you didn't have children and I wasn't so busy. Like, we used to train together a lot. We used to always meet in Newbury, do you remember? And backbending for us back then, we were like super into it. We were like, we want Rainbow Marchenko. And like, these were like goals for us. And now I just think, oh God, I couldn't think of anything worse. And like, so how has it changed for you?
I mean, I think my personal goals have changed. So that would change my training goals. And I think like, I actually put a post up yesterday about like my journey since having my second baby as well. And
I was to ask actually if having kids changed that course at all for you.
I think having children changes your perspective on a lot of things anyway, because you have a child to look after, and they become your priority, like whether you like it or not, they become your priority. You know, when we're talking about when we trained together, like you say, we had no responsibilities. You know, I don't think I even owned a house then or any, do you know what I mean? It was just very different. And I think, so yeah, having children changes your perspective. It also changes my expectations of myself, like in terms of time as well. Like I actually have just got to the point this year where I train twice a week, which is like mega. Like it was amazing. Once a week. And I had literally came in, I had 2 or 3 hours to train, and that was what I did. And that's, you know, but I was okay with that. Like that was okay. But it's changing your expectation of yourself. So therefore saying like, things are going to take a bit longer. The progress is going to be, a bit longer, or you might have a bad training session and you just have to go, okay, well, I'll be back in next week.
Right.
Try again then, you know, like it's, but before that wouldn't have sat well with me, you know, but then I would have been able to come in the next day and try again and train again and push myself again.
Do you think there's any connection between, we both have worked really hard back in those days to get where we are now, and now we're like, meh, if I had a bad training session, what, who cares? You know, it doesn't matter, it's 1 week. Do you think, like, because we worked so hard back in those days to build brands, to build names for ourselves, that now it's like, well, we're there now, so actually the odd training session that doesn't go well doesn't really matter? Whereas for me, I don't know about you, but back then I was like, I couldn't afford to have a bad training session, because I was like, I've got a goal of where I want to be and who I want to be in this industry, that I need to make sure that every training session is amazing. So sometimes I would train for a ridiculous amount of hours to make sure that I got those things I needed to get done. Was it the same for you?
I think, like, I'm going to kind of throw that back at you, because I also think, like, what we were training for back then was for very different reasons. And we were very competition focused back then.
Right.
And I think we felt maybe that, like, being able to nail a certain trick or being able to do this or do that gave us that, like, well, we can do that. So that's like, whereas it's not got, it doesn't hold that same weight now. Like,
it's
you know,
funny,
if I did a Rainbow Marchenko today, yeah, I don't think it holds, it's still absolutely, you know, incredible trick. And anyone that could do it, oh my God, hats off to you. But I think it just doesn't hold the same weight for me now that, like, it's not going to make or break me, like whether I can do a Rainbow Marchenko or not do a Rainbow Marchenko.
I think because of where the industry has grown and because of how many people we've got doing it now, the value of doing those things is no longer of the same value it was back then. Back when we were training for those moves, there was very few people who could do Rainbow Marchenko. So if we could have done it, we would have been one of the very few. Whereas now there's a lot of pole dancers that can do Rainbow Marchenko. So now it doesn't hold the same value. And it's actually the same, I feel, and I'm intrigued to know your opinion on this, with competitions, because I've spoken about this, I think even actually with Becky, who you're really good friends with, we've spoken about it before. You know, nowadays, the same weight isn't carried with a competition, because competitions back when we were doing them were so important to us that, you know, because of the fact that it kind of gave us our careers. Like I had my career my career started because of competing. That's what started my workshops. That's what started to make me, you know, like a name on Instagram, whatever, was because I was always competing. I was always like winning stuff or, you know, placing or doing well, and people were talking about it. And now there's just so many competitions that, could you tell me who won? What was, like, there was a competition called Eden a couple of weekends ago. Do you know who won?
I don't.
Right. But that's that's no shade, by the way, to anyone who won, because I'm sure they were amazing. I know Natalia Nightshade won something. So I know that because I like Natalia Nightshade. But and she's on my Facebook and I just saw someone post about it. But I just randomly know. But I don't know who else placed or won. And but back in the day, we used to know everyone who won. We used to be like, first was this, second. Now no one knows. Why do you think that is?
I think there's more opportunities for people to be seen on social platforms. I think that's one of the main reasons. I think social media is such an incredible tool for anyone who's wanting to start a business, grow a presence, or anything like that. It's incredible. And it's not, I don't think that it's because there's loads of competitions. I don't think it's because people don't care anymore. I just think that it's more readily available to be able to watch people and literally follow people. You know, you literally become a fan via pressing a button and following their stuff. Whereas before that wasn't available. You know, it was still there because there was YouTube. Yeah. And like everyone forgets that, and everybody, you know, used to learn from YouTube, and the same thing was happening on YouTube, but it just wasn't quite as accessible, and there wasn't such a vibe of the whole like following someone and investing in one person. So I think but with the platforms that are available now, it's just more readily available for people to follow people and follow people who they're more in tune with as well. Whereas before, you would go to a competition and, like you say, you would watch an array of people, and for whatever reason, someone would be the person who stood out for you that you really liked and that was like your style or the kind of person you'd want to learn from or whatever. So I don't think that competitions have lost their value at all, but I just think it's just, like you say, maybe the placing isn't quite as important because people already know what they like and who they like and what they're following.
I don't think necessarily, just to kind of correct what I had said, I don't necessarily think that competitions have lost their value. It's more, I feel like the result that you can get from a competition has lost its value compared to what it was when we were first in the industry, because the placing really was like, especially when you go pre-us, like to people who were first doing competitions, Una, Felix, you know, Zaria, Alethea,
yeah.
All of these pole dancers, they became famous through what they did at competitions. And this is the thing. And back then, the only reason that Felix toured so much was because she was like a 2-time world champion. Like, that was why. It was nothing to do with our social media, because we just didn't have it then.
No, exactly. And I think, like, now, and I speak to a lot of people about this, and I'm always like, what is your end goal? If you have a clear end goal of what you're doing, then you will decide what route is for you. Like, it's the same on social media. If someone's goal is just to grow their following, there is a way to grow your following quickly without competing, obviously. And without necessarily, you know, there's like certain boxes you can tick dependent on what you want to do. If you want to teach workshops, there will be a way to go about that to make that happen. If you want to just have a big following because you just want a big following, there are ways to do that. Like, it's knowing what your end goal is so that you can be really, really clear cut on how the stepping stones to get you there, dependent on what that is. I think that's where people get a bit confused at the moment. And obviously some people's following grows without them intentionally, you know, really actively intentionally doing it. And then therefore those people should really decide on an end goal because they should use what they're creating on their platform. So I just think, you know, it's really exciting, I think, for us now, because there is so many opportunities for people, you know, to get themselves out. That's what they want to do.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's just the industry has changed a lot. And I think it's interesting. I find it interesting to see where it's going to go next and what's going to be, you know, I remember back when we started doing pole, it was very much tricks, pole sport. And now there's this massive thing on heels and dancing. And I actually quite like that because I enjoyed the dance.
Yeah.
And I didn't really realize how much of the dance side of pole dancing I wasn't really doing. And that's kind of actually been a savior for me, because I hit a slump where I just felt like I hated pole and I just didn't enjoy it. It became my job and it was very much a chore. And then dancing kind of relit a fire for me. Have you ever had a period where you have hated pole and you've just thought, I might be done?
Do you know what I was saying to someone the other day? I feel like I'm a bit like Dory the fish. So I like forget what I did before. And sometimes I do a trick and I'm like, this is great. And then a time hop comes up and I'm like, oh, I did this like 10 years ago. But because I forget, I think I'm able to celebrate like the small, I've forgotten, you know, I don't know. But have I ever hated pole? I've definitely had like highs and lows. Like, I remember particularly like before I decided that I wanted to have my first baby, that I was kind of like, I think I'm like done competing. Like I think I'm done. And I remember calling Luke. I was in Hong Kong. I just competed, and I was like, I think I'm done. Like I think I'm ready now. And he was like, okay, great, let's go. And you know, and that was a real point for me where I was tired of like the training, and maybe I had lost a little bit of my buzz for it back then. I don't remember clearly, you know, I didn't hate it or anything, but you know, there's highs and lows, and that's life, isn't it? Like in everything you do, like there's times where you're buzzing for something, and there's times where you're just like, oh, okay, do you know what? Maybe this isn't serving me right now. So, but again, maybe having the babies has kind of broken that up, because then I did have the time, like, you know, while I was pregnant, the time after. Obviously, I had a bit of a break after I had Arlo, like, you know, unintentionally, but, you know, took a bit of a step back, then kind of came back to it. So that was kind of exciting again. And, you know, COVID, then another baby. So I feel like there's never been an opportunity of late, like within the last 5 years, for me to go, oh, I'm bored of this, I hate it. Mm-hmm. I'm still very much like, you know, I do still very much enjoy it. I think I enjoy it for different reasons now. Like you say, like coming in and just training and trying to get all these tricks is not what really makes me feel good so much now. But yeah, so I think, no, I don't think I've ever hated it.
That's good. I mean, I have to say, it does suck, because I just felt like, yeah, I think I just lost the love of the training side. You know what I mean? I still enjoy pole, because obviously it's the only form of exercise I actually enjoy doing. I think I'd lost the love that I once had for it.
Do you think that's because your goals maybe weren't clear at that point? Because
maybe.
I think, you know, a lot of people say, obviously, the only thing that gets them motivated is competition or a performance or that little, like, something. A lot of people say that, I think. And I think when you're then just sitting and you're kind of floating and you're just like, I'm not really training for anything. Like, what am I doing? Where am I going? And that can be really hard, because then you're not celebrating the small wins, because there's no reason to.
It was around the time. Do you remember when you, me and Bendy were all training moves like gainer flip and stuff? Do you remember that around that time? I think it was shortly after that, because what I think it was actually, I think it was that I'd kind of reached a limit of what my body was able to do, like physically. And I remember, you know, when I injured my neck, when me and Bendy were training that day, I really kind of woke up and was a bit like, you're not really in a position to be doing tricks like this. Like, your body doesn't enjoy doing tricks like this. So I felt like I'd kind of reached my limit of how advanced I could take the tricks. You know, loved the fungi and stuff, loved some of the flips, but I really wanted to do some of these crazy, crazy flips. And my body just didn't really like it. It didn't take to it. It didn't know the technique enough. And if I'd wanted to do that, I probably could have, but I would have had to have gone to maybe some adult gymnastics lessons and, you know, maybe had the correct training of how to do a backflip, for example. I was just like, oh, fuck it, I'm just going to send it off of this pole and hope for the fucking best. And I just realized that technique was not going to work. And I just thought, I think it knocked my confidence, because I was like, I'd only been on an upwards trajectory, you know, and then to be like, oh, okay, this is where it stops. Like, I'm not going to get past. And now I'm at a point where I'm like, I'm actually okay with it, because now I'm playing with the stuff from all these levels before, the stuff that I was trying to go past. I was very much going to a level where, you know, I had no business being there anyway, because I hadn't really perfected everything from the levels before. You know, I hadn't really perfected these movements. I'd kind of got them, but I hadn't perfected them. And so I think that was a lot to do with it. But I don't know. That was just a weird slump, I think. I feel much better with it now. But
I think most people, like I say, like it's having a goal, because I think, it, you know, and that can be as small as or as big as you want it to be. Like, it doesn't mean that you've got to set these crazy big goals or really long-term goals. But I think just generally having something in your head, what you're working towards or what it is you're trying to achieve. And I think... yeah, I think that helps, and also helps you explore other movements. Like, I mean, I don't know about for you, but obviously with your platform that you have now, you know, teaching those classes during the week, your goals really are to like provide a really good class, really interesting classes for the people that are on your platform. And I think that can be a great goal. You know, it's not like a massive goal, but that's like a perfect goal for keeping up with your training. And you know, so I think a goal setting, it helps a lot with that.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, so sorry to interrupt your episode. I just wanted to come on real quickly and tell you about the sponsor for this week's podcast. And this week is sponsored by Poll Active. Poll Active are a US-based one-stop shop for everything you need for pole dancing. And I'm literally looking at their website now. And this shop, I've never seen the shop with so much choice in my life. It is crazy. They've got all sorts of things clothing-wise for pole dancing. They've got accessories for pole dancing. They've got shoes for pole dancing. A range of brands on there. Some of these brands I'd never even heard of before, and I'm learning about them purely from this website. So if you want to go and find out about lots of different pole brands, go and check out Pole Active. Let's get back to the podcast. You mentioned earlier about your break that you had when you had Arlo. Now, for those who don't know, you sadly lost your husband, Luke, at that time. Can you just give us like a, we don't have to go into major detail, just more, just like an outline of what happened. So I want to talk to you about after that period.
Yeah. So yes, I had Arlo, my first baby, in the October. And then in the March, Luke, sadly passed away. He had an unknown, but nobody knew, he didn't know. So he went to work one day, and then the next thing, the police were at my door telling me that that's what happened. So yeah, really, really tough time. Like, I think actually the longer time goes on, the more I appreciate how tough that was. I mean, Arlo was like 4.5 months old. I was a new mum. It was, yeah, like not what you expect. I was 30 years old, I just turned 30. It was not what you imagine to be dealing with or going through at that time. So
I can imagine it must have been crazy hard. I mean, it feels really weird interviewing it like this, because I know, because I obviously was in contact with you at the time, but I just think for context, it's so important to know. So and when he passed away, you guys were living together, weren't you? So all of a sudden, it's just you and Arlo on your own. What is that, I mean, doing for like your mental health and stuff at this point? I mean, pole, I assume, was completely off the cards at this point. I assume you just stopped doing pole completely at that point for a little while.
Yeah, so I basically was actually just about to compete. Like, I can't remember when the competition was, but I was due to do a competition. So I'd been in the studio. I mean, looking back even now, I'm like, my baby was 4.5 months old. What the hell was I doing training for a competition?
Right.
But anyway, that's another. But yeah, so I was in the studio that morning, actually. And I was training. My mum had Arlo for me for a couple of hours so I could go to the studio. Yeah, so that was like my what I was doing pole wise at the time. Yes, from that moment, I moved in with my parents. Literally, like that evening, me and Arlo took some stuff and we went and lived with my parents. There was no goal. I couldn't even think about the next like minute, let alone the next day, weeks, or whatever.
For sure.
But I think I was instructed that I needed to go and live with them because I had a tiny baby. And then, I didn't pole. I obviously didn't teach. Like, the instructors took it. Do you know what? I can't even really remember. It's all a bit of a blur. But I didn't teach. And I'm not entirely sure when I went back, like, to teaching, honestly. There's no, I don't remember. I remember you coming to train with me, with Leah and Shane. And that was like in the August.
I know that was
and I
quite
remember
a while
that was like,
after. It was quite
yeah,
a while
I
after.
Feel like that was like me first going back. That's how I remember it. I could be completely wrong.
It's funny because I remember conversations where, because I would like call and we'd have a little catch up and you'd be like, oh, Dan, I've like done a bit of pole this week. And it was kind of like, I remember we were like, that's amazing. Like, we were like celebrating it kind of thing. So it was like, you were kind of getting back into it. It was quite hard for you to do that. So like, so you were in the studio when he passed away.
Yeah. I obviously didn't know that. It wasn't until, cause like I went home and then, I actually got Arlo up for his nap cause we were due to go out and meet some friends. So I got Arlo up from his nap and I walked downstairs. In fact, the door didn't even knock. I walked downstairs, put the car seat down, with Arlo in it, and I opened the door and I actually said to Arlo, oh, there's a police car outside. I was just like chatting to him like you do when you're talking to a baby. And then the policeman came to the door and I was like, oh, I don't even know what's happening. But yeah, you said obviously what, like mentally and stuff. I think for me at that point, and it's really weird thinking about it now, but it felt like I would never poll again, because I felt like Luke was a massive part of it. And obviously he was and he wasn't. Like, obviously he was massively supportive of everything I did. And, you know, he did go on stage with me once, and he traveled to China to the competition there, and, you know, involved as a supportive partner, as a lot of people's are. But obviously it took me just a long time to go back to pole was like me, and that was okay, and that was something that I did, and it didn't need to be so heavily linked to what I'd lost. Because like I say, I felt like everything needed to stop, everything that was to do with him, like he died, so then everything had to stop, you know. And it just took a long time, I think, for me to kind of get back to that. And once I started polling, and I remembered that it was what I loved, and it was something that was for me, and that was okay, and I think that's where it all kind of came back together. But yeah, I just remember at the time thinking, I don't ever want to poll again. And I don't know why that would have made me feel that way, like I say, because obviously he was involved, but not, you know,
maybe part of the grieving process, maybe just maybe you were just so sad you just didn't want to be happy yourself at the time. But you know, I'm so glad that you did get back. And does the grieving process ever stop, or does it just look different?
Yeah, it just changes. It never stops. It just changes. And I think the difference from the early stages, where it's literally you feel, you know, it's every minute of every second of every day or whatever, you're feeling it. It's everything that's on your mind. You can't think about anything but what's happened. It just, you know, I know it's really cliche, but it comes in waves. And obviously there's certain dates and stuff like that can make it feel a certain way. I really struggled this year. It's 5 years on, and this year felt harder than last year. Like the anniversary of his death, I really, really struggled. I felt like I just wanted to shut the door and not see anybody. And it's kind of crazy, because then, you know, 24 hours later, I got up and had like a pretty normal day.
Right.
So it's just, you know, it's bizarre. It is absolutely bizarre. I think, you know, it changes so much. It's changed me a lot, I think, perspective, and lots of things. And I always, like, I refer to it and Luke for, like, you know, before and after Luke, like a before and after Christ.
Right.
Because I do really feel like there was a time, you know, when he was here, and that was like a certain period of my life, and then there's an after Luke kind of period as well. So which he would absolutely love. It does change a lot, I think, when you look like you and you lose somebody, you know, that close and significant in
of
your
course.
Life.
Of course. And for Arlo, I mean, Arlo's only five, right? So I assume for Arlo, he probably doesn't really, does he understand? I don't know. I guess at five.
Yeah, he is like fully aware who Luke is, like pictures and stuff like that. He knows it's his daddy. He's aware that he's in the sky.
Oh, that's so cute.
I think it's like around seven, apparently, children start to like understand a bit more about death. But he knows that Luke isn't coming back. Like he for a while, he didn't really get that, but he understands that. So I think he might be a little bit ahead of the game, because he's had to deal with so much, bless him.
Right.
So he does have a pretty good understanding of that. And sometimes he asks questions, but not particularly. Like I think he just kind of gets it, and he's very much like Luke, and he is very placid and just kind of accepts what
He at the moment does have a father figure around, not his father obviously, but absolutely, a father figure. Does like how does a Barry deal with like when you're going through this, because like you said, you're still going through a grieving process, whether it's been 5 years or not, and Barry seems very, very supportive. I mean, is he just mm-hmm. very supportive when you have these days where you just need some time?
Yeah, I literally think he's like one of the most incredible people I've ever met. Like he just accepts it, and he's very like accommodating. Like he'll say to me, like, I know this is coming up. If you want me to be around, if you don't want me to be around, just try and let me know, kind of thing. And obviously it's very difficult because you don't know how you're going to feel. Like I never really know. And it's complicated. Like it's, I'm so sad for what happened. Sad doesn't even really cut it, but you know what I mean? I'm so sad for what happened. I'm so sad for Luke. I'm, sad for Arlo. But then I'm super happy for Arlo because he's got this amazing father figure, and he's got a little brother now, which he, mm-hmm. They just adore each other, and the dynamic in our house is amazing. And I'm really lucky because I've met someone who's amazing. And like I say, we have a great, great little family unit. And then I'm like, I'm confused. I don't understand like how I feel. So I think for me, I just struggle with all of those emotions. There's a lot of emotions, and 90% of the time now I'm like obviously focused on what is the present, and that's really good, and I'm super happy and I'm very, very grateful. But then there's that 10%, like I say, if it, particular anniversaries, particular dates, like we have, it's quite intense actually, because there's the date that Luke died, and then there's Luke's birthday a month later, pretty much, and then there's our wedding anniversary 2 weeks later. So it's like a lot of dates in one.
I mean, is that a good thing in some ways, in the sense that it kind of, I know it sounds terrible, but kind of gets it all out of the way in one.
Clusters it.
Right. Yeah, it's like, sucks, but it's going to be out of the way.
I'd like to say yes, but I think that again, there's other dates and other things, and so I don't think, maybe, I don't know.
Can I ask a question that I think might be a little bit odd, but, and I hope it doesn't offend you. I'm just intrigued to know more from your kind of, I don't know how to describe this, like your brain kind of side. Does it, because obviously Luke passed 5 years ago, and actually 5 years isn't a long time. Does he still feel like your husband, does it still sometimes not feel real? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you know how someone, like, I can't imagine it because I've not been through it, so it's so hard to describe, but like, me and Mitch are married, so if Mitch wasn't around now, I'd still be like, that's my husband, and they'd be like, oh, do you know what I mean? Do you ever have those moments where you're like, my husband, or you're like, oh, like, he's not around, and you forget that he's not actually around? Does that ever happen, or does that stop after time?
No, I think for me, like, and it's funny because there's a couple of things actually. And I think because Luke was he was my husband and he was Arlo's dad, and then he was gone, and it affected my life from that minute. Like, he was due home in an hour. Like, he would have bathed Arlo. Like, literally from that minute, like, everything changed for mm-hmm. me. So initially, of course, I was like, I can't believe it. And I kept thinking, he's just going to turn up. Like, I feel like they're going to have got it wrong. Or do you know what I mean? Even though I knew. But for me, it's not like it doesn't feel real. I still refer to him as my husband sometimes. And then I get confused. And I'm like, how many husbands do I have? but I don't know. But no, there's never been a time where I've been like, and I've never had one of those moments, like I was telling someone recently, like, one of those moments where I see someone in the street and I think that it's him. Never had it, because I just think, like I say, for me, because of who he was to me, I don't think that would ever happen.
Is that common then?
Like,
is that common? Like, people see people in the street and they think it's their lost partner?
I've just had people say it to me about Luke. So they've been like, I thought I saw him in his car yesterday, or I thought I saw, and I'm like, oh, like, I've never done that. But like I say, I think it's because it's so close to me that it wouldn't happen. Whereas if it's someone you saw every so often, maybe that would happen. Do you know what I mean? I
I don't think I've ever
I
had
don't
that
know,
with
but
someone that I've lost. Although actually something weird about Luke came up the other day. I meant to message you about it because I hadn't really seen or kind of obviously heard anything except for obviously what's on your Facebook. And then I was just having a clear out of my followers and stuff, like the people that I follow. So I just like try and keep it fresh, clear any that have been like just not active or aren't doing poll anymore, and try and keep it fresh. And Luke's name was there, and I was like, oh my God. I just clicked on it and went through some of his like pictures, and I was like, it was odd. It was an odd experience. And I was like, well, I haven't seen Luke in years. And I was like, but I can't unfollow him. It was just, I couldn't do that. I was like, that's so weird. I was like, I can't unfollow him because that for me was almost like I'm just throwing away the memory that he even existed. I was like, well, I'm definitely not going to do that. So I've just left him on there.
That's why it's still there. That's why his profile's still there, because I just haven't got to the point where I could take it down.
Oh, you
But
have
I did, and
access
I'm
to
getting to the
it?
point, and I like going on it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I didn't realize. Because you know how sometimes like people don't get access to their social medias and it basically just gets lost in the ether kind of thing. Oh, okay. So you.
No, I do have access to that, but and I like to go on it and look at some of the pictures and stuff. But I, yeah, it's a funny one, like you say, same for me. Like, I'm like, it's, yeah, I didn't know what to do with it, and I didn't want to get rid of it, and then it's an odd one,
It's
but
crazy. It's crazy
yeah.
that it's been 5 years. I find that a bit mad as well. But let me ask you
Yeah.
about so you had Arlo first. You had Arlo just before Luke passed. So 5 months was it before?
Yeah, he was like 4.5,
So
4.5 months,
and
5 months,
then you now have your second child, Bodhi. So how
Mm-hmm.
is life trying to juggle? And this is, it's funny, when I was writing it down, I was like, fucking hell, actually, she does so much. So you've got two children, you have your clothing business, you teach workshops, you are, you're really working hard on your social media, I've noticed at the moment. So you're recording a lot of content and training, and you have the studio and clothing company. So it's like, how do you like time management must have to be on point, right?
Yeah, I mean, oh, yeah, it is a lot, and I have real waves of this with, like, sometimes I'm like, I can't do it anymore. It's too much. I think I've really got some really clear goals now with what I'm working towards and what I'm trying to achieve, and I think that really helps because it feels like everything has got its place with what I'm trying to do. Aura is my
I was
absolute
just about to say,
focus at the
are you
moment.
willing
That
to
is
share what these
my.
goals are and what priority they're in?
Oh,
So
yeah,
Aura
of
is
course.
number
Yeah.
one priority at the
Yeah.
moment. Yeah, I
Yeah,
literally
plus
was I was just thinking that. I was like, well, obviously after like
the
your family and stuff, but like business-wise, okay.
Yeah, so business-wise, if we leave the family stuff aside, yeah, business-wise, Aura is like my number one right now. Like, I'm really working hard there, and that coincides with the content that I'm posting on my personal socials, because I obviously have a fairly decent following on Instagram, and so the more that I can use that to get exposure for Aura, like, I'm in. So that's why the content on my personal profile has kind of like changed recently, and because Aura is my main focus, and that's really nice actually, because I'm posting this content and I'm really enjoying filming it, and I'm really enjoying coming in and doing it, and like I say, like all for one really like specific goal. So you said obviously I teach workshops. I do teach workshops, but it isn't my main focus right now. So if I get asked and it's a good opportunity and I've got availability, then I'm not going to say no. But I'm still like on the path with Aura. Like that's kind of where I'm going at the moment. So that's kind of why that's changed. And then my days are generally like, so I have certain days for certain things, and obviously depends a lot on childcare as well, and like what's available when Bodhi's at nursery. Those are the days where I generally like train or teach, because I know that I just have that freedom. And then Yeah, like the other days are generally like split up into, you know, Monday is like my admin day, for example. And so it's split in that way. But then I also teach at the studio as well. So not loads, to be fair, like not loads, but I, you know, it's still a couple of evenings and one morning. And I do think I'm at a point now because Aura is very consuming and I really love it. And it's something that it really interests me. Like growing a brand is so different from anything I've done before. And I find it really interesting and I find it really exciting and it really gives me like that satisfaction. And I'll be honest, like it gives me a satisfaction that like training and pole and the bits that I've done before have given me. And I never thought I'd get it in like an admin-based role. Like, do you know what I mean? I never thought that they would, but it does. And it might be because I am obviously heavily involved in like the content creation and, you know, there is still that creativity, you know, like a bit that I can put into it. I also love, like we've talked about it loads, but I love learning about business, love learning about marketing. It really interests me. And obviously that's all really important for Aura. So
I think
so
it's
yeah,
like, oh,
that's
no,
I feel
it's
like we went off on
fine.
a
I
tangent then,
think with
sorry.
the businessy side, I totally relate because it's that whole thing of like, you control how well this business does. So you're basically experimenting at this point as to what's gonna get you these sales. Like, if you create this piece of content and all of a sudden you get loads of sales from it, you're like, wow, that was really cool. So what can I do with that? And it's like a little challenge, isn't it? It's like I'm gonna
Oh, I
buy
love
this
it.
stock. How quickly can I get rid of it? Like, how cool? Like, I wonder if am I gonna sell it in a month? Is it gonna take me a year to sell it? Like, you know, I just saw and I did an interview recently with Harriet from Hella, and I get very similar vibes of her. She's very entrepreneurial. She you know, she just recently did. She just put another collection on. I think it was yesterday, and some of the collection, like the most popular sizes, they sold out within 2 minutes. So like people were commenting saying, literally, I
Amazing.
hit refresh to try and like see what was still available, and it had all sold out. And it was like, wow, like
Yeah,
she's doing great.
incredible.
And I love that. I mean, do you ever get any sort of and I asked her about this as well. Like, do you ever get any people that see the success you're having with Aura, or people that maybe aren't so businessy that don't really get it, that just kind of like, I don't know how to describe it. They're not necessarily like trying to knock you back, but maybe they just kind of like poo-poo it a little bit. They're just a bit like, meh, do you know what I mean? Like, they're not really where they don't get it.
Yeah, I don't surround myself with
You
those
are. You
people
don't
though.
surround yourself with those people. That's good.
I
I
don't
mean, but
surround
I mean,
myself
even
with
people
these
like
people.
family, because sometimes I don't get any more, but I used to get it a lot when I first started doing pole. My family really kind of just like fobbed off the pole idea until I started making good money from it. And now they're like, wow, God, he really proved us wrong. But yeah, I mean, have you ever had that problem where it's been like, yeah, people haven't got it?
I mean, again, I'm going to use my dad, bless him. He's going to be like, but I think my dad is very much like, well, loads of people are doing
He's a
it and it's a real niche
realist.
market. Like, it is. And I think, and I'm like, yeah, but I always feel like I say to him, yeah, but. And it's one of those funny things, but obviously, what I feel now, in the difference when he said to me when I was younger, you can't be a gymnast for the rest of your life. I feel now like I really know this industry. Like we just said, I mean, with the dates that you've given, it means I've been doing pole for 14 years and I feel like I've earned, not earned, that's the wrong word actually, but like I've been long enough, like I've explored the industry, I've obviously worn tons of pole clothes, I've had other businesses alongside the pole staff. So, you know, I had my online flexibility program that I ran up until, like Luke as well, so that was something that I stopped and never went back to. But you know, I had that, and I've explored lots of different things. And I think, like I say, with Aura, like it's different. I've never worked in retail. My God, it is so hard, but that's exciting for me. It's not like a, you know, you go and teach a workshop, and it's like a bit of a, you know what you're getting for the days you're doing. Like you've set your price, so it's like quite easy. No, it's not easy. We work very hard, but it's fairly easy in terms of like you know what you're getting. Whereas with Olwer, it really is like month to month. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm like, it's and like you say, and I really like like exploring, like you say, if you put something out and it goes really well, then you're like, cool, that's amazing. And it's a little bit of like trial and error. It's a bit of an experiment. And that's what I've really enjoyed. I've joined TikTok and really enjoyed doing that on TikTok, because I don't mind what happens. Mm. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter if I post something and it gets nothing. It doesn't matter. It's literally trial and error.
How are you doing on TikTok?
And that's really fun.
Like, do you have many followers there, or like?
Yeah, so I basically set up TikTok for Olwa and Charlotte, and I decided that what I would do is trial on Charlotte and be like, use me as a guinea pig, basically, because if it all went flop, then it doesn't matter. Like, I'm not bothered, whereas I really care about Olwa, really, you know, and I want it to be right. So, and yeah, I mean, what's good? I don't know, but I started in like January with starting to just like post more regularly, and I need to come back to this in a minute as well of why I've done this, because I feel like I need to credit someone. But I started posting and doing it more regularly, and obviously changing, like you said, my content and what I was actually putting out. And I think I started with like maybe 3,000 or something on TikTok.
That's
and
amazing.
I'm over 12,000 now.
That's really good.
Like, a few months. Yeah, and I'm like, and like I say, it's exposure for Olwa. Like, so for me, it's exciting because I'm like this exposure. And also I feel like I'm learning, and I've learned a bit about like how and
right.
what to post. So I can now hopefully carry that across to Olwa and begin doing the same. It's a lot harder to grow a brand, as I've discovered on Instagram as well, because people know you're trying to sell to them.
Yeah, of course.
So if they follow you and you subtly sell to them, that's okay, because you're also giving them value in other ways. Whereas if you're, you know, if you're following a clothing company, you basically have either bought something or you're going to buy something. So it's a bit harder to grow, but I do feel mm-hmm. like it's very genuine growth, which is good. Rather than like our platforms, you probably find as well, you get some, you know, randomers or whatever, but yeah, it's more of a genuine.
And who genuine is it you're going to credit for this TikTok stuff?
Yeah, so one of the reasons I started doing all of this is because I met Becky Dunn, who obviously I know you're friends with as well, and she started talking to me about Olwa. We were talking about Olwa, and she was like, I've got some suggestions, like, let's have a call. So we had a call, and she helped me put in place like what to do moving forward for Olwa. So it's all Olwa based, basically, and to do especially with my ambassadors, because we've got like a team of amazing women now that are working with me, alongside me, for me, however you want to say it. And basically set up a really like cool pack for our ambassadors, and how we were going to do it moving forward. And it has made such a huge impact.
That's amazing. She's
it's
so
amazing.
Clever. It's so funny. I like Becky. I talk to her like regularly. I've done a couple of podcasts with her, and I've been on her podcast, but she's turned full influencer. She is like the influenciest influencer
yeah.
now. It's so funny. Like, I literally saw today, I was like, what is she posing now? And she's like, oh, Olwa Hall. And she's like doing all these cute little transitions
yeah.
in her videos. And she's walking on this like treadmill yeah. thing. I was like, she's just brilliant. She looks amazing.
Yeah, she looks
yeah,
incredible.
She does it so good.
Yeah,
she's doing
brilliant.
Great.
She's, yeah. We really bounce off each other, me and Becky. Like, she's my kind of vibe. Like, we always leave and we're like super excited about like the conversations we've had, and yeah, she's awesome. So yeah, Matt, like, obviously you have to credit her, and she started by doing that, and she's
yeah.
actually an ambassador now. But she started by doing that and helping alongside that, and I basically took all the parts of that and applied it to my own profile as well. But like I say, it's literally for, you know, obviously providing content as well, and hopefully valuable content for people that will enjoy it. But it is for me, like, a lot of it's getting that exposure for Olwa as much as I can. And I feel like for a while with Olwa, my goal was to not be the face. Like, I didn't want to be, this sounds mad now I say it, but I basically
right.
wanted to be like behind it and not be like, oh, that's Charlotte's brand. I wanted
yeah.
Olwa to be
its
own thing. And And also we went down a bit of a different route because we started working with somebody who was potentially more down the fitness and lifestyle route and getting connections that way. So we went down a bit of a different route for a while, which wasn't pole and aerial based. So then I didn't want to page. And basically at the kind of about 9 months ago now, I was like, this is not the right thing. Like, it didn't feel good for me. I was like, this isn't like what I want. So I decided that I was going to solely focus on pole and aerial, and I was going to bring myself back in as, like, you know, posting content and being on there a bit more. And it worked really well.
But is there anything that would stop you necessarily from having a separate side to Aura that is just for, you know, fitness and lifestyle? Oh, cause it's funny actually, because that's news to me. Because remember last time I spoke to you really properly about Aura, that was when you were looking to work with dancers and other, you know, fitness professionals and stuff. So you've decided not to do that anymore? You don't want to do that?
At the moment, I'm going to purely focus on pole and aerial industry. Like, it's the industry I know. It's what what our clothes are providing for, and I think, yeah, like that's kind of where I'm sitting. And I also feel like I get really excited and I have lots of ideas, you know, every day. I'm like, I've got this idea, and you know what it's like, you it's a bit overwhelming sometimes, and I feel like I never nailed what I was doing initially. And that's not because I lost interest or, you know, wasn't working hard enough. It was, like I say, I was working alongside somebody and I was being advised in a certain way, which wasn't bad advice, but it was just taking me in a different direction. And it wasn't until I started going in that direction that I was like, this isn't really what I, like, right, where I want to go with it. In terms of the question you should ask me, though, what would hold me back? I mean, ultimately, in retail, yeah, it's all about money. So it's all about being able to get the capital to have that, you know, to mm-hmm. expand and to get bigger and bigger. So I think there's not that is the only like roadblock, if you like. But it's not to say that it won't ever happen. And again, like I say, like, we've got a few things in the pipeline coming up which are really exciting and mainly focus at that industry. So,
oh yeah, what was that?
Can you hear that?
I thought that was my phone. But know. Yeah, no, sorry, literally kind of like as it did that little noise, I was like, oh, what was that? Yeah, well, so how did the business do during COVID times, actually? Because you had the business during COVID, right?
I launched Aura August 2020. So COVID, like the really, really crazy part of COVID had kind of, it hadn't passed at that point, had it? But it was, we were coming out, I think. And then we obviously went back into a lockdown, like, was it like September or something? And then again at Christmas, something like that. So, but how did it do? Well, Aura started with one item. Like, I literally had the jumpsuit, like that. That was the one item, and I had it in two colours, and that was the launch. I never intended for this to be like a full clothing brand, activewear brand, pearl brand, whatever you want to say. I literally was like kind of dipping my toe. I was like, I'll try this. Like, I want to do this. This looks fun. I wasn't doing anything else because obviously it was really quiet. Studio was closed. I was teaching online, of course, but because I had clothing before, again. I had like a really, really small
Live Love Bend
line. And again, after Luke, Live Love Bend. And after Luke, that was something that I was like, not doing that. Don't want to do that anymore. And then, like I say, COVID came and I was like, oh, maybe I do want to do that again. And, you know, that's how long it took. Like, that was like a couple of years later. And that, like, 2 years later, I was like, I now have space for this. Like, in my brain, I have space to go back into something. So that's that. So I had, yeah, and it did that's well. Good. Like, that's why I continue doing it, because it seemed to gain that. Jumpsuits were something that people weren't really, like, there wasn't really anything around like that for pole and aerial. So it seemed to gain momentum, and then, like I say, yeah, it just kind of grew from there. And obviously, I got excited and then wanted to do more products.
Well, I mean, it's done great. I see lots of people wearing. What's it called? Camp Down in Austria. That event that I did, and I did 2 weeks, and I had students there that were wearing the body suits. They were wearing them for like the floor work classes, and then there was some people that were wearing the shorts, and someone was wearing this like t-shirt that you do. So yeah, like I see it actually quite often now. People really love the body suits for sure, and.
Yeah, the jumpsuit is like,
they look great.
I mean,
that's
it's our bestseller, and it's just, and it keeps going, you know. It's obviously I love the product because it's mine, but I genuinely love the product. Like, it's, you know, it was just one of those that worked as well. Like, I got one sample of my design and I was like, yep, this is it. Like, and so it was perfect. Other products have not been that seamless. so it is, but again, I like the challenge of that, I think. But it is growing. It's like I say, it's unpredictable. Yeah. I think retail is quite unpredictable. It's you don't know. You think you've got something really good, and then it might not go as well as you think it's going to, and it's like. That it's hard for you not to be hit by that, because if we have something that comes out and it's kind of like okay, but not like as big as I wanted it to be, I feel personally upset.
It's just because you attach it to the success that you've created, I guess, so you just feel like sad and disappointed that it's not done as well. But you know, the one thing that doesn't do well, you're going to learn from, so that when you do the next one, it's going to be way more successful. I think that's the same for everything in life, isn't it? It's look at pole competitions.
Yeah.
You know, when you do shit at one pole competition, or like in your case, if you don't get through as a solo to this one competition, you're then, well, you're like, right, fuck this. I'm going to enter another one, and I'm going to go and fucking win it. And, you know, look at that. Like, so many people get that, where they go to a competition and they fuck up completely, or they just don't do well. It was terrible. And they're like, right, now I'm going to go back and I'm going to do this properly. And I think that applies to so much, not just businesses, like even just personal goals, I think. But before we finish, I wanted to ask you about competing, because you have a competition coming up, am I right? Oh, no, you're not dropping out, are you?
I do.
Okay, fine.
Absolutely not. No, I wouldn't drop out. But I do. But it makes me feel. It makes me feel.
That's why when I said that, I was like, and you were like, I was like, But okay.
No. I'm. Yes, I do have a competition coming up. Yeah, the Elite Pole Champs. I agreed to do, which I am actually. I'm really excited for it. It does make me feel nervous because obviously. Just being on stage generally, like I'm such a nervous person when it comes to performing. You know, I performed actually, I was at a camp last year and there was a performance at the end of the week. And
was
I
mountain?
Was like freaking out about it. It was just a performance, but I do get quite, no, it wasn't mountain. It was the Italy.
Bibione. It's called Pole Camp EU.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. Yes, so but even that I was like really, really like nervous about. So it's just the way that I am, and so when I think about it, it actually makes me feel a bit sick. But I'm, do you know what? I feel like I've got, again, really clear goals for what I'm trying to do there. Like, I literally just want to go and have a good time. I want to put on a really good performance, and I want it's for me to be like, I've had two babies, it's 8 years since I competed, and I've had two children, and I've been through massive, like, you know, life trauma, so how cool to get back on stage and just give it a bash. The training has made me think I won't do it again.
And what, just because you don't have the time to train?
So like I say, like, if I have a bad session now, you know, not just I'm training that piece and I'm like not having a great day, it's a week until I go back in and like trying to mend it, and by then I've already forgotten what I did last week. So it is just going to be, but again, it's just a different journey. Like, this isn't, I'm not going to be, you know, when I did the UKBBC 2015 or whatever it was, I was training like 5 days a week, like, whereas now I'm training 1 to 2 days a week. And it's just different, and that's okay. So I think I just want to have a really nice time.
It's in Peterborough, right?
Perform the best that I can.
Yeah. So Mitch will be there. I think we've got a stall there, but I think I'm away. But yeah, it's a good venue as well. I really like that venue. They're really lucky with that one. It's a really nice place.
Yeah.
But it was lovely talking to you. Well, I mean, we can obviously talk for hours and stuff, but yeah, it was lovely talking to you and having you on here. And thank you for opening up to us about the Luke stuff, because it can't be easy to talk about. And I appreciate you talking about that. Thank you so much. But I'll have to have you back on when Old River comes an internationally known brand and everyone's wearing it and all the celebrities are messaging you asking to wear your stuff. But yeah, thank you so much, babe. Thank you for coming on. And until next time, mwah. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We really hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you enjoyed coming on the journey with us. And remember, if you've got a suggestion of people that you would love to have on this podcast, make sure you send me a DM on Instagram to @DanRosenPoll and let me know who you'd like to hear from. Until next time, bye.
That was all the tea that you can get this week. Join me next time right here. It's the week.